Yeah, so when Ollie J got out of the limo, even the wife was just like, "Holy cow, those are some huge boobs."
Yeah, okay, it's the same Cardi B fucking nonsense bullshit, so whatever, I don't care. It's like someone go look at pictures of her and see if there's like before after stuff.
Oh, yeah, so.
She's got the charisma of a cloth.
I did not really. I believe I watched that part of Raw of NXT while recording with Chris, and I did not just rewatch that part, so I have never actually heard that.
My favorite thing is I put Ollie J in Google. First one is Ollie J official, okay? The next one is who is Ollie J? Exactly. The fuck is this?
Yeah, I mean, I know that I'm hopeless for knowing whatever the current star is, so I'm be like, okay, because clearly the WWE is still in the Bad Bunny business.
What the fuck was that? Like, we hadn't heard from him since last year. I mean, like, early last year. And all of a sudden, like, the hottest tour on the planet. I'm like, okay. So, I mean, good on him. I mean, whatever, but.
Yeah, he has he has some extra coverage to help out if someone if his tour didn't sell out already.
Dude, I mean, well, he came here to Charlotte, or he is coming here to Charlotte, at the Spectrum Center, just the arena. And I think it sold out in like 2 hours or something, I think.
yeah,
So I was like,
it,
okie dokie, good for
yep.
you, buddy.
I want to say something similar happened around here too.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I know that he's really popular, but it's just like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I saw all those backup dancers and whatever else for the stadium tour, and I'm like, God damn. And it's what amazes me about that. I mean, I just don't never heard of it, whatever. He's such a small person, like Prince almost. And
Uh-oh.
he's doing a stadium tour. Like, and I understand he's gonna be small no matter if he's 6'6", he's gonna be small in a stadium tour. But that's a tiny ass man. Like running around on a giant stage, like holy shit, that's
Yeah, well, and the only
enormous.
comparison that I can go with or that I can think of that's even close is seeing like Metallica on stage. I saw them over at Three Rivers Stadium way back in the day with Guns N' Roses. And James
Yes.
Hetfield is a large man, but as
Yes.
you noted, he did not look very large when you're in a giant, cavernous 80s style stadium.
Yeah.
Well, actually 70s style stadium.
Yeah, I mean that's always, I've never been to a stadium concert before. Arenas, sure, but you know, I don't go to big shows. So it's like okay, it's always easy to see. But I think the
Oh,
last one we was Bon Jovi. Is that the last arena show we went to?
nice.
Yeah, it was Bon Jovi. Not my cup of tea, but I had a good ass time, dude. So I was like,
Yeah, because we still actually have tickets to see, is it Joan Jett?
oh yeah, Motley Crue,
Motley.
Def Leppard.
Yeah, we because those
Alice
tickets
Cooper?
have now been
Poison,
delayed
right?
like 3 years or something. But
Yeah.
Ticketmaster, like I think after the second time it moved, Ticketmaster's like, "We're sorry, we're screwing you, and you're not getting the ticket if this date moves again or something."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I told you, we saw Motley Crue. That was a good show. That was
Oh,
fun.
yeah.
Never seen Def Leppard. Don't really care. Was it? So I saw Poison. At least out to PNC. That was fine.
Oh yeah,
Whatever.
Poison's good. I saw
It's
them a handful of times with Emily.
yeah. And then Joan Jett opened for Heart, and she would just kind of stood there. She didn't really do anything. She brought out this gigantic drag queen though, and it was like at the height of they're having like the bathroom bill stuff here or whatever. And she's like, "I'll just pay whatever I want to pay," and all this stuff. We're like, "I don't care. Get off the fucking stage, man. Or woman, whatever. I don't know. What am I supposed to call you? I don't know. But, yeah. But no, Joan Jett, just like, whatever. So, just like whenever she makes an appearance, like they're on NXT, or didn't she play Ronda Rousey out at WrestleMania?
I believe so, yeah. She, it was just like, yeah, I appreciate you. I understand what you did since I was there for the most part, even if I was pretty young. You know, kind of like the other old musicians. It's just like, it's, yep, you can just stay retired, guys.
So are you actually going to go to that show then?
Which one?
The Motley Crue, like the.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's well, and that you mentioned stadium tours. The this one's at PNC Park in Pittsburgh, so it's a baseball field. Yeah. So it's not quite a football stadium, but I do believe it seats around 35,000 or something in that area.
Okay.
I don't know what it would fit for concerts necessarily. It might be more than that if they're going to fill up the field at all.
Yeah, they usually do.
So, yeah, I want to say it's early August of this year. We still have the tickets to it. We stuck to it, and conveniently it's on a Friday, so we're like, hey, we'll make a weekend out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And
sounds fun.
Yeah, and go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think Melissa asked Elise to go to that one or something. It was mentioning going to it, and I was like, no, it's okay. I mean, they come here. They're going to be here
America,
which is like 70,000, so. Like, I don't know. Like, the appeal of an arena show isn't that great, but, like, there is no appeal to a stadium. Maybe Pink Floyd. That would have been kind of cool because of that show, because they put on that gigantic show for it.
And I forgot, U2 was really good, at a state, because I saw them, did I see them at Heinz Field, actually? I'm trying to remember, because I saw, that was another, I forgot that I've been to a couple of stadium shows. I forgot about U2.
Yeah, I remember you going to U2.
But that maybe that still TV, was... That might have still been Three Rivers. Good God, I'm old.
I thought you saw that in Cleveland.
No. I saw that with my friend Margaret in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it was either Three Rivers or Heinz Field. And that was... But, again, like, it's got to be a show, you know, like, the show thing, if you don't have a good gig, the stadium part doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I would definitely, like, if Rob Zombie were at a stadium, I would be there, but I'm just kind of enjoying his weirdness that he's doing with the Munsters right now, so...
Yeah. Okie dokie. Like, is it... I saw that, and I thought it was a joke. And then, of course, his wife is in it. Of course she is. But, oh wait, is this going to be like a rated R version or something? Or, because kids movie, or PG-13 and Rob Zombie don't really...
Go hand in hand.
Go along. Like, it doesn't even sound right. But, you know, I was laughing when you said your friend Margaret. I was about to ask you if your friend Margaret was 70 years old. That is an old lady's name.
No, only like 44 or something like that. So.
Maybe there are just those names, though.
Yeah, that is definitely an old woman name.
Yeah, because I mean, like Marge, like my Aunt Marge was Margaret.
Oh, right.
It didn't occur until I was older. Oh, her name's Margaret. Like, oh, hey, I'm Marge. And it's still like... My mind always, like, whenever you have these names, remember you had, like, a lady used to be named Gertrude? And they call him Gertie? That kind of horseshit? So, you know where this is going. I mean, just imagine, like, trying to dirty talk with that stuff. Come on, suck my balls, Gertrude. Just,
Gertie.
It doesn't work. Come on, Gertie. You don't want it. Like, ugh. I mean, I guess that is when they used to call women handsome, too. So, all those things just kind of go by the wayside. Bessie, any of that, which now is a cow, but, you know.
Oh, man. One of the lovely tangents that is this show.
Strawberry Crumble's hitting pretty good, so.
All because of Bad Bunny. This Bad Bunny derailed us from wrestling.
Well, this Ollie J chick didn't help. I was trying to look her up, and she just looks like it's... Well, one, I tried listening to it, and it's just garbage, so whatever. And then you see her, and there's, like, nothing real about her. And I'm not talking about, you know... I mean, I guess her looks, obviously. But even, like, all of her Instagram photos, which, of course, she's supposed to be a celebrity, public figure, whatever, but there's no candid photos.
No.
It's all, I mean, airbrushed to the hilt, perfect pose, all this shit. And it's like, yuck. Yeah. So, and then I heard the music and went, oh, this is garbage. So...
Oh, fair enough. Yeah,
Cameron
like I
Grimes
said,
beat
I
Tony D'Angelo, right?
Huh?
Did Cameron Grimes beat Tony D'Angelo?
That is correct.
All right.
Tony D'Angelo has kind of had an interesting run. He has been something of a 50-50 man. Here.
Well, here's the thing, and I was going to bring this up, and I thought I deleted the show. That's why I asked. I'm actually watching the other bit now, but. I don't understand. So he loses here. But I can't remember. Did he beat Pete Dunne in that?
Yes.
Crowbar match?
Yeah, that's why he had the funeral for him last week.
Alright, I think my DVR messed up and I forgot to look. So why the hell would you have him beat Pete Dunne, have a funeral, and then Cameron Grimes come out? So the only... Oh, never fucking mind.
Well, the one...
No, Pete Dunne just showed up. I'm watching the end of the match right now. So...
Oh, okay. You know what? I looked away, and I knew that something cost Tony D'Angelo, but I actually missed... I assumed it was Pete Dunne, but I did not physically see him.
Okay. So what I was going to say, which doesn't... work anymore, is why would you have him beat Pete Dunne, have a funeral, and then do a feud with Cameron Grimes, and then here's Pete Dunne, okay, because I thought maybe Pete's going to the main roster, but I guess not, so whatever.
Nope, he is headed to stay in NXT. He's going to be kind of an interesting case.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of just big enough that he might survive on the main roster. But I'm not completely sure if that will happen. Like, I would not lay a bet on that.
Yeah, I just don't know. Because they're going to a specific person now. And Pete Dunne doesn't fit. Now, I know Randy Orton's a big fan of his. So maybe that, if Randy Orton has his way, then everything will be fine. But if he doesn't, I don't see it. Like, they already had Ciampa. I mean, did you notice Ciampa's different look? They had him dye his beard so he looked younger?
Yeah, I liked how he used, what is that one that it's supposed to blend in?
Just for Men?
Maybe it's Just for Men, where it's, you know, it's supposed to leave some grays. Like, I did like how he didn't go, like, jet black or something with it, but he did try to match his natural color that was still in there a little bit, and, like, hide, you know, like, not, but yeah, it was pretty noticeable that he lost all the gray in his beard. It's just like, okay, I'm joining with a young guy now, so I've got to look a little bit younger now.
Yeah, and it's just weird to me, because they had that, and I'm like, well, why is he dyeing his beard? But then you find out, like, they're making everybody who looks old, even if a coach either shaved their head, cut their hair, diet so they look younger. So weird. But I expected Ciampa to go to the main roster, so him coming up, you know, and apparently going to be
You're getting there. You might be able to spit out his name soon.
Yeah, but it's like Bron Breakker's partner. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, never mind then. So, I don't know. It was just like, okay, well.
Yeah, I mean, is there pay-per-view? Oh, it's probably going to be... Because are they having an event around the Royal Rumble?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dude, that's Saturday. Which, by the way, the Royal Rumble is Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I guess they would have been advertising it for Sunday. I should have known.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, someone pointed out, I was like, oh. Oh, that's right.
So, yeah.
I'll probably watch it Monday when I'm working.
Yeah, I would imagine that I will at least... I'll probably watch the majority of it live. I don't think we have anything on the docket for Saturday evening there. But in some ways I kind of understand the Saturday Sunday flopping that they're doing with their pay-per-views. Like, go with the one that you think is more convenient, and with two big football games on Sunday, I think it makes complete sense.
I think that's exactly why they
to go on Saturday to me.
Yeah, I mean, who's the late game? Is that the Chiefs and... Chiefs and who?
Yeah, Bengals.
Oh, okay, that's what I forgot. Yeah. Yeah, they're the late one. And so I think it's 6:30, so that won't be over till 9:30, 10 o'clock. So yeah, so it's eaten into their time on Sunday. I totally understand.
Yeah.
And I've always thought they should be on Saturday anyways. I've never understood, and I will say even the Super Bowl itself should be on a Saturday.
Oh.
I've never understood why events were on Sunday night. Now, I know people go out Saturday. Saturday is supposedly not a good night for TV. Well, this is different. This is an event, and, you know, you can party it up.
Yeah.
like we used to on Sundays. Boy, it would have been a lot nicer to do that on a Saturday.
Yeah, I do distinctly remember taking off the Monday after the Steelers Super Bowl victory over the Seattle Seahawks, because I may have had a few extra beverages that night.
What was his name? Willie? No.
Willie Parker.
No, it was Willie Parker. Okay, yeah. I just remember you texting me that. I was like, Jesus Christ. And then, was that the one Brian took a video of you doing keg stands?
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. So, I think I even said... I think Kevin's taking the day off. So.
Yep. So, yeah, it would have been convenient if that Super Bowl was on Saturday. And I did not have to use a PTO day for hangover.
Yeah, I just distinctly... I've always said, I don't know why they're not on Saturday. That's why NXT was so great. Those Saturday shows, I mean, if you had nothing to do, you could just watch them early morning Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, and that has been the other thing that I kept that I forgot about, although the wife and I noticed it a while ago, just regarding NXT, that it's on the Peacock. So our DVR has kind of sucked recording it. And I'm like, I really just need to remember to just go straight to the Peacock to watch this.
Yes and no. Did you see the latest, like, financial earnings? The Peacock Network lost $1.5 billion.
Oh.
And if I'm them, wouldn't you look and go, well, wait, what's our investments here? What are we putting into this thing? I don't know how much original programming they have, but they don't average, like, we watched Halloween Kills on there. Thank God. Because that movie's not good. And then...
Oh.
Then WWE, I don't know if they have other programming. I don't know if they're still releasing, like, their movies on Peacock at the same time. They don't advertise it worth shit.
There is a lot of stuff on there, but it's another one where, yeah, like, I feel like I have a bunch of different apps for, like, niche things, essentially.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, because I want to say that we just looked at the, like, the oldies kind of movies because the wife likes them, and I mean, they have a poop ton of those. If you want to watch something from, like, the 40s or the 50s or something like that, like, they have so much content on there. It's just like, I could die before ever, you know, like, you could watch stuff probably without watching originals, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm assuming by originals you're talking about new content just made for Peacock.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't know how much of that they have, because what else do... other than the soap opera, the wife likes to watch it. What's that yachting one? Below Deck?
Now, I just heard of the show the other day, and I'm like, that show sounds awful.
Yeah, it's just like one of... It's kind of like any reality TV show.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, awful.
You know, there's always... there is kind of some craziness going on there, and you get a little bit of actual real life, I think. I don't think it's as staged as some, which is kind of nice. because people are actually working when they're doing this show.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of it until literally just this week, so it's kind of funny.
But yeah, I that is another one, though, that airs on... AMC or something like that, Bravo maybe, like, I don't know what stations all these places own. So it does air on regular TV and then pops on there. Like, it's not a Peacock specific kind of thing. They did do, is it Days? Yeah, I think it's Days of Our Lives that's on there. They did like a Peacock only special last year. But I can't think of too many things that have been, like, Peacock exclusives. Like, other than the WWE, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yes.
Their pay-per-views. Like, other than that, like, I can watch, like, it does kind of crack me up. It's just like, oh, watch it on Peacock. Like, even the games. Like, it gets so awkward when you're watching a sports game on an app because... You're sitting there, you're going, oh, well, I'm not watching intermission. I am just sitting here watching a commercial for insert app that I'm watching it on here. And it's just like, oh, great. I get an ESPN commercial instead of watching the same State Farm commercial once every fucking break.
I've never watched... a game or any sporting event on an app yet. But I remember the old days when, you know, when before there was, you know, Fox Sports, CBS Network, NBC, like, you know, ESPN, Longhorn, Big Ten, Pac-12, all those.
Yeah.
Remember when you have to buy the college football package for either the year or the week or the weekend so you can get your game? I remember having to do that a lot. And do you know they still offer that?
Would have had no idea.
I just went, who's buying this? Like, you can buy the ESPN app for cheaper, but what I was getting at was, during those games, they never showed commercials. So when they went to commercial break, it was, your game will be right back. And it was a green screen, so that your game will be right back. Do-do-do-do-do, whatever music. And then your game came back on. Do you know how nice that was? Oh, my God. No commercials whatsoever. It was just your game, that stuff, your game, the end. Go to the next one. Oh, it was fantastic. I love those. But yeah, it's also weird when they advertise the game being on, like, you're watching a game on NBC, and they go, yeah, turn on the, catch all the highlights and watch the game on the Peacock app. And I'm going... Why the hell do I need the app when it's on over-the-air free TV?
Yeah. And that's it cracked me up all football season. Yahoo's like, oh, come and watch the NFL game in your area on our app. And I'm like, do you think I'm not at home? Like, I don't, why would I, it would have been useful if they had shown, like, the alternate games. Like, you know, Cleveland gets the TV, but I can watch the Steelers because it's one of the possibilities in the area. That would be more useful, Yahoo. Not watching the game that's already on TV that I'm home to watch. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And they do that, and then they will have, like, the game of the week that you can watch. But that one is going to be on CBS or Fox anyways. So it's why do I need – what are we doing? And I don't know. I'm not – I don't watch movies on my phone. I watch – like a video someone sends me, but like a game, an event, something like that. I'm not watching on my phone.
Oh yeah, and
that's 65 inch TV. Why am I going to watch it on a 6 inch? I don't know, whatever inch phone is. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, like I don't mind watching some YouTube clips or whatever on my phone, but I'm with you. Like if I'm watching something that's more than an I think maybe the longest thing I watched on my phone was The Mandalorian, really. Because I would
watch the Book of Fett yet, so.
Okay, well.
Not good.
You don't... It's just okay.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. Like, I don't think it's terrible, but it just really seems to be moving slow, and I'm not quite, you know, like, you don't see any arrows pointing anywhere. Like at some point, like what was it? Was it the fourth episode of what was the Scarlet Witch one? And I know WandaVision. Like
yes.
You kind of like there was that one episode where everything kind of clicked, and you're like, oh shit! And it kind of changed everything, but also kind of told you what direction is going in. Like, I think the fourth episode for Book of Boba Fett was this past week, and it was just like, I don't see where you're going here still, guys. Like, I've seen some stuff, but I am kind of baffled, and it's not like, yeah, I'm baffled, not intrigued.
No.
You know, where it's just like, okay, I know that you guys are kind of going somewhere, but you guys are really, really kind of taking the long way to get there. So, mate...
I'm going to try and start it, but...
Yeah, not exactly a ringing endorsement. Even if it's not completely shitting on it.
Yeah, well, and I was kind of lost with WandaVision at first. And then when I got going, I was like, oh, okay. Loki was one that didn't get going until the last episode. That was, like, sludge to me. And I just went, okay, this is what we're doing. But... then it just sets up everything like, oh, okay, well, we didn't need all this other garbage, but whatever.
They needed a whole season to set up a good season.
Yeah, or set up like the rest of the Marvel Universe going forward and all this stuff. Like, okay, whatever. But Hawkeye was actually good. I enjoyed that from beginning to end.
Yeah, that was one that we hadn't gotten to because she said that she potentially wanted to watch that she... It's kind of funny. I can just watch the Star Wars stuff, but the Marvel stuff is always kind of optional. She was out for WandaVision. She wants to watch the Hawkeye, but we just haven't gotten to it yet.
I think she'll like that one. It's entertaining. It's got some cool stuff, and I don't know. I liked it. I'd like to see it again, but I don't think Jeremy Renner is going to do it. I think this was a one-off, but it helps... Did you see No Way Home? Not No Way Home. Yeah.
No, we have not seen No Way Home.
Okay. Do you know any of the spoilers of it?
No, still don't know the spoilers. I have been off of... I am not a social media junkie almost at all at this juncture.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I still pop in every now and again to do some stuff, but I definitely don't mix it up. So, it's easier to avoid spoilers that way. I will say that. Like, not that I do think that people have been a lot better about it than they used to be. And just say, hey, there's spoilers involved up front. And it's just like, okay, I'm cool with that kind of setup. Yeah, whatever. I saw someone opining about, oh, I used to, you know, it used to be so much fun. Why have people not want stuff spoiled? I'm like, huh? Like, it's kind of inherent. Like, the word spoil is in there, you moron.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man has some cool little tidbits here and there. So, I'll just leave it alone then. Never mind.
That's one that everyone was like, oh, man, got super emotional over that one or some such shenanigans.
There's some cool shit in there, dude. It's like, if you've seen all the Spider-Man stuff and they do other stuff with Marvel.
Oh.
Like the Marvel movies and TV shows as well, to kind of bring it all together. So it's like, oh, wow, this is like, there's a lot of fan service done very correctly. And I think that's why it's getting the rave reviews and everyone loves it the way it is. So, and I agree. I mean, I really liked it. Too long. And some of it could have been cut out, but, you know, whatever. But, so yeah, I don't know how the fuck we got there.
Yeah, I don't know why we got to the movies from wrestling yet again, but that's okay.
Well, because, all right, to be completely honest, I barely watched Raw again. The only thing that's intriguing to me are still the two main matches. Roman and Seth, and then Brock and Bobby Lashley.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we both know, like, I guess Bobby Lashley and Brock is kind of up in the air, because Brock is so dismissive of Bobby Lashley that it just seems like the story is he takes him for granted and Lashley pulls a fast one or something. Or Roman helps, you know, Bobby Lashley win something. Brock is literally just flicking him off his shoulder, like, go away, Nat. And then Brock's supposed to be the good guy in this situation, too, by the way. So, it's very weird to me.
Yeah, it's a weird setup that they have going on for that.
It's intriguing, though. I mean, we haven't seen a version of Brock Lesnar like this. We're finally getting badass Impact Bobby Lashley. Finally. And then you got throw MVP in there. You got the intrigue of, like, well, Roman Reigns is supposed to be fighting Seth, but it was supposed to be Brock as well. So, and then you got Seth, who is a heel on Raw, but a babyface on SmackDown. So, like, it's kind of chaos, but it's a good chaos to me. Like, I wish the rest of the card was this good, because it's not. So.
Well, yeah, that was the biggest one that, well, I mean, Chris and I kind of talked about how those two matches were kind of the biggest ones, and it's both of the Rumble matches are, to me, so wide open.
Yeah, the women, you can do whatever you want, but then the men's, for sure, I mean, unless they pull up Becky Lynch and, you know, Brock loses and gets in the Rumble.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Something weird like that.
Yeah, because Chris and I went with Big E is kind of the main favorite, and then everyone else. Like, I we couldn't think of someone that they'd give the Rumble to on the men's side. Like, because it's unclear if Drew McIntyre is going to be back. Because he would be a possibility, but I don't, you know, like, Lashley's either going to win the championship against Brock Lesnar, or, like, I don't see him losing against Lesnar and then entering the Rumble and winning it.
Yeah. I'm watching Impact, and I didn't realize Guerrillas of Destiny are going to be on Impact next week. Crazy. All
right. Oh.
I'm telling you, man. The show's worth watching.
Is it on Twitch right now?
I don't know if they still do Twitch or not, but it's on Access. And I'm telling you, it's worth watching.
Oh, well, that is the problem, though. I don't have access anymore, so
Okay.
that is a little bit of a problem if they're not on the ye old Twitch.
Yes, yeah, it would be. But yeah, it's worth keeping up on YouTube. I'm very surprised at how it's unfortunate how small it is now. But it's kind of nice to see the turnaround. Like, Bronson Reed is now back to being Jonah. He's there. Will Morrissey, the old Big Cass,
Oh.
seemingly turned his stuff around, man. He looks great. He's got a good character to him. Moose is good. And we'll get back to the WWE stuff in a sec. But there's just, well, they've got the whole weird Ring of Honor invasion going on. The
Oh,
only time
right.
I've actually given a shit about Matt Taven, he's just not been interesting to me, but he's interesting in this. And I was like, well, what is he doing here? Mike Bennett, PCO, he actually signed with Impact, I believe. And then
Oh.
Kip, the other one is, but whatever. But yeah, it's just interesting stuff. Keeps on your toes. And then all of a sudden, Bullet Club's showing up. So, okie dokie. And then they also got rid of Matt Stryker, thankfully, and replaced him with formerly Tom Phillips, which I can't remember what his
Oh,
name is.
Tom Brennan or
Okay. Hey,
something.
he's a good announcer.
Something like,
He honestly adds legitimacy to their broadcast that was not there before.
yeah, like there was the whole Josh Matthews thing is still weird because he's still a, isn't he a producer or something of that nature for Impact? Like I really liked him at first, but things went wrong for him a long time ago.
Well, I think he became one of those guys. It's all conjecture. He became one of those guys that didn't listen. His style was the same. He became monotone. He always talked like this. Like he was always holding his breath while he talked, and it was so off-putting. Like, goddamn, man. That there was almost like a Joe Buck thing where there was no actual emotion, but somebody trying to pretend that there's emotion behind their voice. So, yeah,
Yeah,
just.
he did not seem very, especially those last couple of runs on when I heard him on Impact. It's like he seemed to have some pep because he was doing the show with his wife at the
Yes.
time.
But they never said they were husband and wife, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, that was kind of random. And I do remember I don't know if they still live in town or not, because I did run into them at a soccer game one time.
Maybe.
But it's been a
I'm
while.
somewhere.
It's been a while since I did that, though. Like I would say a good 5 or 6 years.
Well, I mean, unless he works in Nashville. Are they still in Nashville? Yeah, I believe they're still headquartered there.
Yeah.
Eh,
Oh.
whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not interested enough to look it up, is the way I'll
No,
put
no,
it.
no. Yeah, but no, it's. The show got worth it. But going back to WWE, part of the problem is they don't have a lot that's worth it. Like, I know. Who are some of the undercard? There's Becky Lynch and Doudrop.
Yep. Yeah, 'cause well, I mean, Rumble's always light on matches. So you got the two big
True.
matches, and then yeah, Becky versus Doudrop is one of the matches, and I want to say because there's only 4 or 5 matches. Yeah, I think it's only the 4 because it's Beth and Edge taking
That's right.
on Miz and Maryse.
Yes. Which the clear winner there has to be Miz and Maryse. I don't think they've actually ever lost as a mixed tag team. Because remember, they even beat Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. If I
Oh.
remember right. That
Yeah.
was the big blow off to their feud, which shocked everybody. I was
Yeah,
like,
this
what?
thing's well, and this feud has had a similarly, maybe not similarly weird, because I don't remember how that feud set up. But there was no, if they were going to go, if they knew they were going into this mixed tag match, It makes no sense why Edge beat The Miz in the first matchup.
Yeah.
Like, this has been set up all wrong. That I know that you can say that Beth Phoenix is in fact also a mother, but she just looks like she's in a completely different workout regimen than Maryse is currently.
Maryse looks like she's a glam mom, and I'm not trying to insult anybody because you knew. You knew my crush for Beth Phoenix. So, but to see Beth now, it's like, holy shit, man. Like, older and thicker. Which is what we all are. You know, I'm trying not to be, but we all are. So it's not an insult, but it's like, Maryse just went, alright, I'm a mom, I got the kids and all that stuff, and I'm so hot as hell, though. Like, okay. Where Beth was like, all right, I was out of wrestling for a while. I was just doing the mom thing, got into powerlifting again, and I'm making my way back up to being hot as hell. So, and then she just kind of went with this, what, it's not a cyberpunk look. Like, I get maybe it is with, like, the weird, like, mohawk style hair, all that stuff. But I knew when she left NXT broadcasting, she was coming back to wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty, you could read, because I think that Edge and Miz were already having their feud, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I can smell a mixed tag match coming a mile away now.
Yeah. Well, and one that makes sense, so.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, like, it's just been, because they've done a lot, like, I've loved the promos, but it's almost all hinged on. And that's the thing that's been kind of weird. Like, Beth really wants to rip off Maryse's head, and it's just like, I don't really remember you guys being rivals or necessarily even having that much of a beef with each other. So it just feels, that end feels weird to me, but the Edge and Miz stuff has been great. Like, I've loved their end of bickering with each other.
You know, I think the sad part about that is, though, is maybe I guarantee you, Maryse and Beth fought before. But it was during that time where it didn't matter.
Oh. You know? I would be shocked if they didn't have a number of matches against each other.
But that's how little women's wrestling mattered.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of sucks. But I guess in this case, it does add a little bit of intrigue. Like, ooh, they're actually going to fight. You know, something like that, but
yeah, well, that part's going to be interesting. Beth is in just amazing shape, and she's probably not going to get more than like 5 minutes in the ring.
Yeah, this match seems like it's going to be quick, just because, like you said, they're always light on matches, you know.
So. Oh yeah, because each Rumble takes up like an hour at least.
At the least, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, right there, even if you're doing a 4-hour pay-per-view, you're accounting for half of the pay-per-view.
Oh, God, don't say that. I didn't think about that. 4 hours, Jesus.
So, I don't think it will be, because, I don't see Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar being a long match. Like, I am 100% looking forward to that thing. But I also don't expect that to be a 60-minute time limit draw.
Yeah, see, that's also a worry of mine, though. You know? Like, Brock always has short matches now. And it makes sense, because, you know, he's this heavyweight compared to the smaller guys. But now he's in it with a guy that's relatively big. I mean, Lesnar's still bigger than him, which is just nuts. And
yeah.
I'm just hoping it's not one of these things where he comes out and crushes Lashley.
Oh.
You know, like, I hope that's not the case. I want it to be competitive.
Yeah,
Bobby Lashley so much at that day one pay-per-view that it made me intrigued. Like, oh, Brock's willing to sell for him and stuff. He looks like he's going to do business. This could be a lot of fun. So.
I don't think anything's gonna go too sideways. Like I think Brock will join in the fun of this matchup, honestly.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, it's Brock's show. I mean, I'm sure this angle is all his, him and Paul, whatever, that, they can get some good stuff going, I hope. And, I mean, that's really my hope with this, is that it's just good. It's good and fun. And regardless of who wins. But I'd still wish this would have been built up more and have this be like a legit main event for WrestleMania. Because isn't this like one of the matches that fans actually have been talking about wanting to see?
Oh, and it's one of the few matches that is legitimately fresh between two guys that have been around. Obviously, Lashley had some time away, and so did Lesnar. But they didn't cross paths when they were in the WWE against each other originally. And how many years have Brock and Bobby been back in the WWE? Like, it's been like 3 or 4 years at this point, right? Where
I would
they've
think so, yeah.
managed to, like, in an age, especially now, like in an age where you're just like, okay, you're gonna burn out feuds. Like, you've just gotta do your best to put time between them. This has been one that you're like, oh my God, like this is legitimately a match that has not happened before in like maybe 10 years of total time. And that is wild, especially with the big man fetish for Vince McMahon to not have these two guys against each other is just one of those things that is very, very strange.
Well, I guess that's what's nice about being Brock Lesnar, and you're involved in your own angles. You don't have to go through creative. They can pitch something, and he just goes, no. And that's the end of it. Like, that's crazy. Nobody else does that. I guarantee you, Roman doesn't do that. So, all that stuff's kind of nuts to me, but it makes sense because, Brock wants to make money, which I always wondered how that works now. Because you're not trying to sell tickets anymore. Because they announced the Royal Rumble, what? How many years ago? Or how many months ago? So this event was already sold. So it's not
Oh.
me, like, dictating, like, hey, I sold these tickets. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how quickly they sell out, I suppose. I believe, are they at the indoor stadium there in St. Louis?
Yeah, they're in the old football stadium. The dome.
Okay, yeah. Whatever it's called now, I believe the last I remember is the Trans World Dome, if memory serves, but I'm not entirely positive about that.
Yeah, same.
So yeah, I mean that's a big card. So I mean, I guess you could still see if people get tickets late, but who knows? Like especially like the other thing that's got to be tough as far as calculating ticket sales, like. How many of those go to secondary ticket places just off the hop?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, like I don't know what that number is, honestly, but I'm sure that it's something of a significant number for any sporting event that, you're just kind of whatever your actual capacity is, it's not actually going to be 100% of the tickets that are on sale because 2,000 are going to StubHub and another 2,000 are going somewhere else. And it's just like, wow, okay, that really dwindles things down. Like, how do you determine who sold a ticket when and I mean, that's been the case for how long now? At this point, this weird, secondary market. It's kind of been a while. Like it's been a long time to me that it's hard to say who's selling tickets to any event, you know, whether it's the WWE or AEW, honestly, like it's the brand more than the individual.
Which is kind of what I think Vince wanted. I mean, that's why no one's popular. They want to make the show the draw, not the people. He doesn't want it to be a sporting event, but it is. So it's like, hey, the Tigers are playing. Okay, I'm going to see the Tigers play. Well, who's playing? I'm not sure. Hey, Raw's coming. Oh, who's on the show? Oh, I don't know. I mean, at least with baseball, it's the same thing. Like baseball, football, whatever. You have a general idea who's on the team if you pay attention to it. But that doesn't mean they're going to play. Like, as a kid, remember, I don't know if you were like this or not, but we go to see the Tigers, and I'm like, well, why isn't Jack Morris pitching? Well, no one ever told me as a kid. He only pitched every 3 days. Like, well, this blows. Like, I came to see him. Which is not true. But.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't that much involved with the pitchers there, the Pirates, to be bummed about something like that. But we were a very baseball-y family there growing up, and that was definitely his first first sports event that I went to was a Pirates game.
Trying to think. Mine was a Wings game. So, go figure. But now I think about it, it was the Red Wings. So.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess you don't know if Brock Lesnar is selling those tickets or not. Like, I don't know how you really determine that kind of a thing. I guess it's just merch sales at this point. And boy, Brock did get a new feature with all that plaid that he's been wearing, his new WWE shop gimmick there.
Can you believe that? They're selling a Brock Lesnar plaid shirt. Like, what the fuck are we doing? But, okay.
That's how long we've been around on Stunt Granny. We're saying what the fuck about this stuff.
Yeah, like, I guess it's just something we never thought you'd see. And then, here it is. So.
He just has that big whatever mountain skull thing on the back of it. That he has on his actual back.
Oh, okay, so he does have that on there?
Yeah. And I think there's a little version of it, like, as the crest on the front of the jersey, the shirt, so, you know, it kind of looks like a nice branded.
Okay. All right. Sure. So, I know we've been off on tangents, but...
What?
Do you ever see some of this merchandise and go, who's buying this? Like, even like an ironic way, like, oh, this sucks so much, I'm buying this. Like, there are people that are legitimately buying some of this garbage. Like, you're going to buy a Brock Lesnar, like, lumberjack shirt? Like, are you serious? Or, like, remember we used to see people that would buy, like, the DX jerseys?
Yeah.
Which back then were, like, $100, which is, like, $1,000 now? Like, ew. I mean... I don't know. I guess that was actually a bad one because the DX jerseys were kind of, you know, that was back when, like, getting jerseys. I remember I had a Life of Agony one. So I have no idea what happened to that, by the way. But
That's a bummer.
Yeah, no kidding.
Would have been a nice one to still have. Even if it didn't fit, it'd be a nice one to have. I have a box of just old concert t-shirts that don't fit anymore.
Well, that's all I used to wear, so they wore out. I couldn't keep them.
Right. Yeah, I kind of grew out of mine, so.
But you see some of this stuff, you're like, whatever.
I think the last piece of WWE merch that I got was right before Kia died, or right after, actually, Kia died. She, quote-unquote, got me an Usos t-shirt as the last... Oh, you know what? The wife actually... really liked that the Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae old school Mickey Mouse inspired power couple t-shirt. So I got that for her, actually, because she had, they were wearing that a while ago, because I think that was before the Gargano family part of the gimmick came along.
Oh, okay.
And it was just the two of them. It was a really fun shirt. That actually is the last piece of merch that I bought from the WWE, but now she's completely bummed that the power couple is no more.
Yes, and no appearance on AEW. That was... Maybe he's being serious, and he's just taking his time off. Or maybe he shows up Saturday at the Rumble, for all we know. But, I mean, it was in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, Bash at the Beach, or whatever they were calling it.
Okay, so I enjoyed the show. I did not like the main event. Layla Hirsch and Red Velvet should have been on Dark. The rest was fine. I mean, ridiculously good opening match. But the fact they called it, was it Bash at the Beach? I know Lake
Erie. Yeah, Beach Break.
Oh, that's right, because that was Orange Cassidy's move. That's right. But what made it funny to me was the Ricky Starks, Will Hobbs interview at the beach of Lake Erie.
Oh.
That made me laugh. But the rest, I'm like, why are we calling this Beach Break? Like, it's Lake Erie, for God's sake. Like, let's settle down first. But
yeah, that's it. I think Chris said something like Ohio, and then I just sent him homage has done for a long time a t-shirt that says Surf Ohio. And I'm like, yeah, January is not the time to go surf. Like, you can, I think, surf in Ohio, but yeah, January is not that time to do it.
Yeah.
It's a little brisk out to do some surfing.
With the interview they showed, the lake was frozen over. So, yeah, you are not going out there. So... But yeah, no, I enjoyed that show. But yeah, that just drove me crazy. Like, why do we have a beach break at fucking Cleveland? Are we serious?
And I don't even know why it's in January. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay if you do want to do a spring breaky type situation going on in March or something like that. But I'm like, come on, man. Even the people in sun states aren't really doing that much beach this time of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's cold for them. It might not be cold to me, but it's cold to them, so.
Yeah, well, Will Hobbs in his usual overalls, no shirt, but then wearing a fur coat, that killed me.
Oh,
like, I actually really like Will Hobbs. If he can just get better in the ring, he's got a lot of potential.
He's
called Powerhouse for a reason. That man is huge. Mm. And even when we went to AEW, it was me, our friend Trisha, and myself went. And even Trisha was like, God, that guy's huge. I'm like, uh-huh. So somewhere Vince McMahon's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll throw money. But... Yeah, but he stood out. Like, for somebody that doesn't watch wrestling, to have somebody stand out, it's like, oh, okay. So,
yeah, it does make sense. I missed, honestly, as far as AEW went, I missed until the six-man tag with the Inner Circle there.
I like the story they're telling there. So,
I guess because I didn't see the beginning of it, was there some point... Like, did Jericho do something to them that pissed off Santana and Ortiz, I guess? Like, that's the only thing. Like, I felt like I was missing something the whole time. I'm like,
Eddie Kingston, I believe it was on Rampage. Rampage, and there was actually like an interview. I don't know if it was Busted Open Radio or whatever else. he said that Chris Jericho's holding them back from being the tag team champions. And then, you know, it's just they've been fighting whatever battles doing this, and they weren't going after the tag titles. So they're slowly starting to, like, get mad at him and say, yeah, he's right. You have been holding us back.
Well, as I mentioned before we started recording, information is king. And I did not have that information about Eddie Kingston saying that they were being held back by Jericho. And, yeah, I mean, hey, if that's the storyline they're going to run with, I'm cool with it. Because I think both of us have been proponents of them getting some type of due in that division. Like, they were brought in as, hey, look at how great our tag team division is. And we're in year three. And they came in pretty early. Like, I'm not going to say that they were there the whole time, but they were there most of AEW time. And who doggies, they have not seen the light of day, really, for 3 years.
I mean, they were there, wasn't it the first? What was their very first pay-per-view? Wasn't that they showed up to help Jericho? No. Yeah, didn't they show up or something to help Jericho at it?
Yeah,
no,
they...
I'm sorry, they did not help Jericho, but they said something to him afterwards. So, yeah, they
They were in there pretty early.
Yeah, I swear it was their first pay-per-view. Like, their first ever event.
Ever pay-per-view, okay.
Yeah, before they even had, like, Dynamite or any of that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, they've been around a while, so it's like... There is, like, sort of a legitimacy to the story, because there are people like, why aren't they out there for the tag titles? And you got a team like Jurassic Express, which, no offense, they come in and win the title all of a sudden, which I don't think was supposed to happen. But with Rey Fénix getting hurt, if the story is correct, they called an audible. But that story doesn't make sense, because why would you have everybody watching, you know? Remember with those awkward shots of everyone watching the tag match?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that story to me doesn't really hold up, but whatever.
And that seems like a weird... Usually if someone's going to win the match, they end up winning the match in some weird fashion where you go, why the fuck did it just happen that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, if you're gonna have the Lucha Brothers win, like, it's a weird choice to go, oh no, hey, we're gonna call it on the fly. Let's have Jurassic Express win the tag team championships. Yeah, just because Jungle Boy has gotten such a strong singles push, it was a little bit of a surprise that they won the tag team championships.
Yeah. Because frankly, like, they should have won them a while ago.
Really hot.
Like, that's why it just kind of came out of the blue. So, yeah. I think, like, wasn't Luchasaurus hurt for a while?
He was hurt for a while, and he seems to have been back in the ring for a little bit now. Although that injury really seemed to slow him down.
Yeah, he seems really slow and clunky now. He didn't before. Like, that match. I mean, okay. There's a disconnect with some of these main event matches, because when they won the tag titles, that match wasn't that great. I mean, it was a train wreck for half of it.
Oh.
And then even this week's lights out match, like, that was the main event, but obviously the ladder match was the real main event. That match was really good. And I can't believe half of, like, either Sammy or Cody's not dead. Because that.
Oh, what was the big spot there? Because that's a one that I didn't even catch on YouTube.
Okay, there was the big, like, you know, standing suplex off a ladder, which is nuts.
Oh, okay.
And then there was a swan dive off of this giant ladder where it didn't break through on the bottom. So Cody gets crushed. And Sammy, like, folds up and, like, almost gets, like, slingshotted off of
Cody
on the way down.
Oh, my God.
Because Moradi is supposed to do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, it was awful, dude.
Okay, now I understand. I saw some reactions on Twitter, like way after the fact, like next day after the fact. So that really puts things into context for me.
Oh, dude, that was brutal. I shot up like, oh my god, someone's hurt. Like,
someone's how is dead.
I was just gonna keep going. But then I forgot what the other one was. There was another big one too. But I mean, people boo Cody. That man, you ain't getting a bad match out of him. I mean, he's not holding back whatever else. And then Sammy just flat out won. So that was fine, but...
Yeah, that still seemed... To me, that seems like a long wait for Sammy to get the championship back.
I'm trying to figure out if he was ever supposed to... Well, no, I guess he was supposed to lose, so never mind. I can take that part back, but...
Yeah, because Cody being at home with COVID should not be enough to reverse those results. You know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah, I guess I kind of understand what they're doing, because, you know, Sammy did kind of seem like the next big thing in the Inner Circle, and he never really took off there either. Like, I feel like he had a couple of nice matches, but he never, or he had some fun spots in, like, the multi-man matches, but he hadn't really gotten his just due until recently, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he had, I forgot about this, Cody and Sammy had the first ever match on Dynamite. They mentioned that during the match. I was like, I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the show was good. I did not like the main event. It was way too goofy. And I know it's an Orange Cassidy thing, but I don't know, man. It was just like the ending was dumb. He's hugging him and he can't get out. Like, what? Like, okay.
Yeah, well, Adam Cole makes no sense. Doesn't have biceps, so I mean, I can understand why he didn't get out of the hold.
But it's like, but he's showing that he's wide awake.
Uh oh.
And they go through all this, also he wakes up like, whoa, I can't get out. Like, Orange Cassidy has superpowers now? Like, what are we doing? And then, like, all the interference, at least they got that out of the way quick.
Yeah, I didn't mind the way that they did. If you do interference like that halfway through the match or three-quarters of the way through the match, it doesn't annoy me as much. Because they came down, did the interference spots, everyone got out of ringside. And, you know, there wasn't the one person lagging behind who, you know, didn't get... yeah, get the message and get out of Dodge or whatever, or didn't get attacked.
Where was Kyle O'Reilly? He wasn't there.
Uh-oh.
So I thought he was going to play into the end, because I couldn't believe they beat Adam Cole. And yes, I know it's probably not going to count to the record, but yeah. That still sucks.
Yeah, because it's lights out, man. It doesn't count in the record books, even though it's on their TV.
Yeah, and they gave him ring introductions, gave him an announcer and music and all that stuff.
They give him a referee to count three. Yeah.
But I guess the lights out is it's not sanctioned, so that's why it doesn't count. But we'll still make the money off of you guys. So, you know, if you really think about that.
And you're still going to make money off of us.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, I just didn't like it. Some of the spots were dumb. It's just that type of match I don't like anyways. Going backstage. Man, I paid how much for a ticket for this? Get your ass out here. Pronto. I mean, as soon as the match started, they got out of the ring. Okay. Adam Cole goes under, grabs up the trash can, ladders, chair. I'm like, oh my god. I thought we were supposed to be getting something different. And in comparison, I'm not sure if you saw it. If you saw any of that GCW show?
No, I still haven't. I did not get a chance to watch that.
Yeah, they put some of it, some people like it bootlegged. Good night. They put some of it online.
Because it wasn't, was that on IWTV or was that on Fight?
No, it was on and regular pay-per-view. Like, that was a legit pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. They kind of, to me, ran into the I'm watching football problem.
Yes. And, yeah, for sure. Also, I'm not the biggest fan of GCW, so it didn't help. But, so what I'm getting at is, So in this match with Orange Cassidy and Adam Cole, they're doing WWE stuff, which AEW's not supposed to be that. Where Matt Cardona and Joey Janela, Cardona, you know, he calls it the GCW universe. He's the big star. He's got, like, you know, he's shredded. He's got the beautiful girlfriend. He's got, you know, the colorful tights. And then GCW guys look the way they do. So it makes sense. Well, then this match turned into a junk WWE match on purpose. And that's what made it great. I think a lot of people didn't understand what was going on. You saw, like, people complaining about it, like, oh my god, there's too much interference, so many run-ins. It's like, yes, that's the whole point of it. Like, Hornswoggle came out because he was under the ring. Why? No idea. He just was.
Because.
And then smart Mark Sterling just shows up out of the blue. And he's like the lawyer, so they stop the match and bring Vince out. Vince is Vincent. Virgil?
Oh.
Yeah. Wearing a Vince McMahon mask.
Oh my god. Like,
what the fuck is going on? For GCW, they couldn't have been happy about that. You know, the fans? So, but again, that's the point, because they hate Matt Cardona. They hate what he brings. So this type of match, these type of things in the match make sense. It's to incite these people.
Right.
And then Brian Myers comes down, dressed as Edge from the One Night Stand. And spears Joey Janela through the, door. So then reveals himself, like Edge revealed himself, and like hit John Cena so RVD would win.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was great. And I was like, okay, because I'm like, this match kind of sucks. And I'm like, oh yeah, because I hate these kind of matches, which is what makes it kind of, you know, not genius, but makes it kind of brilliant. So,
yeah, when you're doing, I guess the kids would call that a meta take on those matches.
Yeah, or a parody of sorts.
Yeah,
I don't know if someone wants their match called a parody. But in a way, it kind of was. So
that's pretty cool.
I enjoyed that match. They did like all the goofy shit where like Chelsea Green turns on Matt Cardona, only for it to be a double swerve and all this bullshit. So I was like, whatever. It was fun. Didn't care. But no. So then I'm watching.
Back Adam to the Cole WWE program.
And there's not a hint of irony in the whole thing. Like, they actually thought this was good. So, to me, that's just very weird. Like, they should have known better. You shouldn't have had Adam Cole lose regardless, but whatever.
That part was probably the most surprising part to me. I was just like, huh? Really? Like, okay, guys. I guess if that's the route that you guys want to go.
Yeah, exactly. Like, alright, but Cassidy never really seems to win the big one. So,
that's what seems odd, and he... I'm trying to think of who the champ is right now. Oh, Adam. Yeah, and I guess that's the other thing. Adam Page, like, he's probably not going to... They're more prone to do the heel versus heel and babyface versus babyface stuff to me in AEW, but that still kind of seems like an awkward matchup.
Yeah. But right now, AEW's in a weird position because they're trying to sell us that Lance Archer and Hangman Adam Page is not going to end with Hangman beating Lance Archer. You know, like, does anyone believe that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's a brutal sell.
Yeah, and now if they had built up Lance Archer for a few months, maybe. But he, you know, he had that almost near horrific, almost career-ending neck injury. He hasn't been seen since. So I was like, oh, okay. Then it would kind of make sense. Like, oh, he's been around for a while. That's why this is happening. You know, that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But now he just comes back, and all of a sudden he's getting a shot at the title. Like, well, one, the obvious question, what happened to your rankings? Two, yeah, what happened to your rankings? I mean...
I forget. They kind of... I feel like they kind of mentioned that in the promos this week, but I can't remember exactly how that was worded.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I think Lance Archer mentioned kind of skipping the line or, you know, something along those lines. Or maybe Adam Page even said, I was looking for a challenge and I got one or something like that, where... It's a flimsy way, to say the least, to get around the rankings. But they did kind of skirt the issue, I suppose.
Alright. Well, you know, it's just weird. But they're in that transition because their pay-per-view is not until March, so they gotta do something. And that's what, like, all signs were pointing to Adam Cole and Adam Page at the pay-per-view. So now Adam Cole loses, and frankly, yeah, it does kind of taint it a little bit. Like, okay, he lost his first high-profile match. Like, but you know,
yeah,
whatever.
It seems AEW like a weird choice.
Yeah. The one thing we got to mention before we get out of here is I was watching NXT right before we started, as we said in the beginning. Some good stuff on there, actually.
Oh.
And then...
Yeah, I really, you know, I think we've talked about it, because I don't think I've talked to Chris about NXT that much. You know, Solo Sikoa is another one where I think I just like the second generation guys, or third generation maybe at this juncture. I don't know what that number is. But he's a guy that especially... Like, he kind of had a weird match. Like, I'm not sure that him and Boa had escalated to have whatever their version of a Lights Out match was. I forget what the fuck they called it.
Yes.
But I did enjoy that match, and it was another one where I'm like, man, I really like... Like, I hadn't seen him in that many matches, and wasn't he on one of the programs that you watched, the indie programs?
No, you're thinking of Jacob Fatu.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you know, obviously he's Jimmy and Jay's very young brother, or much younger brother.
I don't know, I don't see a resemblance, so... Are you sure about that one?
But yeah, I mean, he really kind of seems to have it, too. Like, he's another guy that I'm just like, oh... Okay, this will be fun to see where this guy goes from you know, this moving forward. Like, since being stuck against Boa is not a fun place to be in.
No, and then, yeah. I don't know. Boa's trying, at least he's got, like, the face paint. He's trying something new, trying something different, but it's, like, whatever. It's just whatever, but... One thing I wanted to mention was the women's stuff was good. All the women's stuff. The tag match was fine. The six-woman tag match was fine. The stuff with Raquel Gonzalez and not Darby Allin. it's just weird. And now she's trying to get her to be a tag team partner, and now she's fighting Cora Jade next week. And god damn it, they better not have Cora Jade beat Raquel Gonzalez.
Be a very awkward thing to do.
I mean, that would make literally no sense whatsoever. I mean, it's already weird to me that Kaylee Ray is supposedly a good guy. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I don't even have the history of watching her on NXT UK like you do. But just the way she presents herself and the way she does her promos is very heelish.
Yes, because that's what she is.
So, yeah, like, it's pretty weird to see what's going on with her. Like, it's just like, again, like, not even knowing the history, it's like, this just seems out of place, guys. Like, I'm sure most people can probably play both babyface and heel, but she needs to kind of change something in her delivery and, like, the way she's kind of talking about her opponents to sound more like a babyface. Especially since, I mean, it doesn't help that Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada have been, that's still been a weird thing. I think it's starting to develop now, like, their chemistry as far as, like, verbally goes, like, the last maybe month or so. But yeah, it was a little slow to start with. I didn't quite understand why Persia was there, other than the fact that, you know, obviously Candice LeRae is pregnant.
Yeah, and I'll be curious if she even comes back.
Yeah, that would be awkward of the WWE not to just let her go.
Well, I mean, if she wants to be let go, we gotta slow down, I guess, on that.
Donald
didn't leave because he was unhappy. He left because his contract was up, you know, and he's taking his time. He's saying he's taking his time, whatever else. But, I mean, honestly, the writing's on the wall. Candace is too old. And, yes, I'm saying that dead serious. I'm thinking, like, WWE, she's too old.
Well, that, I guess if I was convinced that there was a chance that Gargano signed back with the WWE, I'd leave the door a little bit more open for Candace to be back and probably still NXT, you know? Like, I don't see them elevating her above being in the role as she was in.
It's
a little bit of an assumption on my part from, yeah, like you said, kind of given the facts that the WWE has presented to us the last several months here, like you said, writing is on the wall there. I don't see her. Like, I don't know. They might make her play through some of her contract or whatever, but it seems kind of silly, honestly, considering. And I mean, that was her main part of her, even on NXT, her roster run. I know that she had a championship, like, two or three championship matches, I want to say. But I never took her seriously as a contender for even the NXT Women's Championship, you know?
Like, no, what's... No, it was against Io Shirai, if I remember right.
Yes, one of them, at least, was against Io. She might even had two at different times.
So, yeah, so it's like, okay, like, no offense to Candace, but why am I taking you seriously when Candace, is a legit badass and would just wreck you? Like, it was hard to take that seriously, and I guess I kind of just caught up, but...
So, at least to me, from the WWE standpoint, there isn't a whole lot of reason for her to be back.
Yeah.
Like, I know that they can be super petty, so it wouldn't completely surprise me if they bring her back on a nothing run. But it's still just... it's a questionable business practice. Maybe I'll put it that way.
Yeah, but no, it's... The rest of the show was weird. Duke Hudson doesn't do it for me. The guy that came out afterwards to attack him, I don't remember his name. He does nothing for me.
I'm trying to think of what the Taiwanese guy's name is. And it's pretty easy too, because it's just
high
like
one East guy. Let's just stick with that.
Dante Chen.
Okay, I wanted to call him Donnie Chen, and I knew that wasn't right. So I was close though.
Yeah, I'm like, isn't it close to the movie star's name? How did we almost get through this show? I know that it's late, but I don't care. Because I'm just like, last week I'm like, nah, they're not doing the Gunther thing. And then sure enough, like a couple of days after, like A, I guess I didn't remember it actually being on TV, and B, that promo that led up to the reveal of Gunther killed me this week. Absolutely killed me. Because I'm like, oh my, like, maybe a minute into that whole Imperium buildup, I'm like, oh, I know what they're doing here. And, oh my gosh, I know that that's not the reaction they were going for, but I was howling when he finally said Gunther at the end of that giant Imperium buildup.
I didn't want to talk about that. I just want to bring it up. Like, listen, Walter's not exactly like, oh my god, like, you know, spine tingling name. It's not. All right, no way around it. But Gunther is a doofus name. I'm sorry, if your name's Gunther. Maybe in Germany it's cool. Maybe it's just like Jim here. It's not here. It's a doofus name. And it's not going to work. It's not going over. I mean, knowing, and especially just knowing what they were going to do. Like, you couldn't call him Dieter. I don't know. Call him Axel.
Call him Sprockets.
I mean, just bad. It's bad. It's not going to work. And whatever. Yeah, that's all I gotta say. It's dumb, and I know we complain about like name changes a lot, and that's fine. But this is seriously a bad one. It's bad.
Yeah, I don't see the bright side to this name. Like no. You said, like Walter wasn't, a sparkling name. Like I do like to go back to it. Like I think there's something with Solo Sikoa. Like I kind of think that it's a fun name.
I would be more down with that if they were like, oh yeah, he's one of the Usos. It's like Uso Sikoa or something. I don't know, just something like that.
Them not acknowledging the bloodlines on NXT is just awkward.
Wait, he could be the fucking third. He could be the third twin, for Christ's sake. He looks just like him. It's insane. And even Elise goes, oh, is that one of the Usos? I was like, no, it's Solo Sikoa. Oh, he looks like one of the Usos. I was like, yes, honey, that's their brother. Oh, why they call him that?
Well, I mean, it was killing me that the crowd was chanting Usos during the whole match.
Yeah. As they should. Like, this propensity to try and create a fake world is obnoxious and just... Honestly, just it's embarrassing by now. You don't have to be doing this stuff. People know, like, your audience knows. I mean, I guess they know. I don't know. I don't like speaking of, like, you know, absolutes like that, but...
Yeah.
Like, especially an NXT audience knows goddamn well who that is.
Yeah, definitely an NXT audience. Like, even now, like, I still think that's the one thing that it really is not helping the WWE product either. Like, just watching, even if you didn't like the match, the main event there for Beach Break, the crowd was into it. And that, like, the NXT audience used to be kind of rabid like the AEW audience is now, but they do not seem rabid anymore.
Well, see, to me, they're rabid with quotes around it, as in, it feels like they're being told what to do.
Oh.
they are buying into every babyface. They're booing every bad guy. They're booing. I mean, it's like, wait a sec. There are some exceptions, but for the majority of the time, they are going right along with story, like good guy, bad guy. And that's bullshit. No one does that anymore. even the Cardona, I'll go back to this, the Cardona one. There was a sign saying, if Cardona wins, we riot. You know, just like the old days. So he actually had that on his shirt. And on the back of his shirt said, fuck Mick Foley. Which I was like, what'd he do?
Probably just because.
Yeah, but he hates ECW. So he hates the garbage style wrestling and whatever. So I guess that's So to me, that was funny. But like these guys, like, but even in this time, where like all the GCW fans and the announcers hate Matt Cardona because he's a piece of shit, which they said over and over and over and over again.
Oh, okay, well.
There were still, oh, the announcing's not good. And
that would have gotten old in a hurry.
Oh, dude, it was only one match, and I was like, who are these hacks? Like, this isn't good. But no, like there were people still cheering for Cardona.
Oh, so, yeah.
Having a crowd that is absolutely right down the line, we're following party lines, is clearly fake. And that was what I was glad you mentioned that because I wanted to get into that part.
Uh-oh.
That was driving me crazy. So, but yeah. So, and I will say this before we go. Santos Escobar should not be in NXT. That whole faction should be on SmackDown or Raw. They want a new Rey Mysterio. I'm almost positive I've said this before. They want a new Rey Mysterio. They want a new Latino star, Mexican star, whatever. You fucking got him. He's perfect English. He looks like he belongs. Get his ass out of there. Enough.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, I do think, unfortunately for him, he was on 205 Live. I'll put it to you that way.
Was he? I don't remember that.
Maybe he wasn't on 205 Live, but he went after that belt initially on NXT. Okay.
Yeah, so then they got away from, because then they had that weird feud with him and Killer Cross, and that just kind of took him out of it.
Yes. Yep.
Or, I'm sorry, Carrion Cross. So, yeah, and then all of a sudden he wasn't a cruiserweight anymore.
Yep.
Which, good.
Yeah, do not brand him. Like, I don't even want to say oodles of potential. Like, I think that guy's great right now.
Yeah, he always has been. So, when he was a Phantasma, and then I believe he was King Cuerno. I think that was King. He was King Cuerno in Lucha Underground, if I remember right. So it's like, okay, he's been great the whole time. What are we doing? But, whatever. I mean, I don't know. I understood when Triple H was there. I understood when NXT was an arena show. It's not anymore. So get his ass out of there and get him like meaningful matches on Raw, SmackDown, whatever.
Oh, yeah, because, like, he has gotten to the territory for me where, it doesn't matter if he wins the NXT. It almost seems counterproductive for him to win the NXT championship at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they want a Latino. They want a cater. You know, cater always sounds like a bad word, but in this case I'm going to use it. They want to cater to a Latino audience. They want to build their Latino footprint. Well, fuck, you got one of them. He was a star in Mexico. He's changed now, sure, but...
Oh, yeah.
They'll know, and then he can represent. He's bilingual. You wouldn't be able to tell that he didn't speak English. Or like
that. Oh, that it wasn't his first language.
Right, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hasn't that been the problem with Los Lotharios? You know, they don't speak, like, Angel Garza and, oh, gosh. Oh, no.
oh, why did I forget his name? Also. Yeah, Humberto Carrillo.
Thank you. Wasn't that part of their problem? You know, like, their English isn't that good. It's too broken. Okay, next.
Well, the funny thing is Angel Garcia, I think, speaks perfectly fine English. Humberto's a little, you know.
No, Kevin, he has an accent.
Yeah, what? Trust me.
That's not perfect English. You're not thinking WWE. You're thinking real world stuff, you know? That's why nobody has, no one has an accent anymore.
Yeah, well, that would get really awkward. If our roommate stops sounding like he's from China, I'm going to be concerned.
Well, which, by the way, for as long as we wrap the show up with this, because I've run into this before. Al's wife, May, she's been here for 40 years, 45 years. Her accent is as thick as the day she left China. I don't understand how that's possible. I'm being dead serious. You purposely are not trying to, you're purposely not assimilating. Now, by the way, she speaks English. Don't get me wrong, she does. But that accent has never lightened up. Never. And it's always perplexed me. So when you said that about, the roommate, I'm like, well, wait a sec. He's been here a while. Shouldn't it have lightened up a little bit?
He's been in one of my residences for a dozen years, I think, at this point, so.
Yeah, so hey, TikTok, buddy. It's time to ease up. I get it.
But, yeah, but again, like it's one of those ones where I do like to give the WWE some credit, although I have to laugh that they still do it more for the old to put it in Donald Trumpian terms, non-shithole countries, because they have the subtitles for Imperium.
And all of those guys speak fine English, which is so backwards.
Yeah, but they can't put up subtitles for someone who's Latino. It's just like, come on, guys. Fucking get your shit together here.
Yeah. Well, shit, they did it for Jacket Time.
Oh.
When they were on Last Legend show, all of a sudden, they're like stammering, going, oh, like that, like wrestling likes to do.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they go to their own native tongue and they put subtitles up, that promo was banger.
Oh.
They could instill the passion that they would have because they're using their native language. I don't know. Maybe we're not the average wrestling fan. Maybe they know something we don't.
Oh.
You know?
Trust me, one of the upsides to this very show has been talking about wrestling, but also not talking about wrestling.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I'm okay with this turning into some weird variation of OPA / We Watch stuff.
all our old shows.
Yeah, I think there are some other stories that I can tell you that you have not been told.
It's time to wrap up this show anyway, so
Bell Time beer for yours truly. One of the beers that has probably been sitting in the old beer pantry for a little while now, but has got some attention with the beer fridge now that I can keep more beers cold. Zaftig Brewing Cashmere Indulgence. I want to say that I probably got this beer nearly a year ago. Strawberry Milkshake IPA. It is one of their very delicious beers. They're a brewery right out of here in Columbus. And it's hilarious because their main brewery is all of about, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, 100 feet from the Budweiser plant. So, yeah, very fantastic beer from a very local company. 7.5% alcohol is actually somewhat low for them. They were one of the first breweries here in Ohio after the ABV law numbers went up to brew. I want to say it was a 17% beer.
Oh, wow. wow, you guys can go that high, huh?
Yeah, because Pennsylvania and Michigan were uncapped or capped at like 20% or something like that. I can't remember the exact numbers. Ohio raised it to 20%, I think. If it, and I know it wasn't that long ago. So yeah, because was Michigan supposedly the rumor that I heard from a distributor, let's say, is that Dark Horse Brewing in Marshall, Michigan, also a favorite of mine, but I've not had their beverages in quite some time. But evidently they would not brew things differently, but they would slap a label on a beer with a lower ABV to sell it across the border in Ohio. That is the rumor that I was told.
Wow.
Before this law changed. Obviously, they don't need to do that now, because I want to say that the cap was 12% or something in that area, so they raised it like 8%.
I couldn't imagine a 20% beer. I mean, like, I'll have a mimosa and a Prosecco goes my fucking head. a whole can of beer would mess me up bad.
Yeah, it was a good thing that that 17% beer was only a 5-ounce pour. Because 5 ounces, I was damn near tanked.
Yeah. Well, mine's the cranberry crumble from Red Clay Cider. It's part of their crumble series, so it's a little bit sweeter. 6.5%. Basically, the crumble series add like vanilla and other flavors to cider. So this one's cranberry, vanilla, and cinnamon. And this weekend, I'm very excited because they are releasing blueberry crumble, the one that started it all, and the one that apparently has a gigantic national cult following now.
Nice.
So they will actually get people to come in from out of state to come and get stuff. That's fucking stupid. But, hey, more power to them, so they'll probably sell out. So that's where I'll be Saturday, if you're in the Charlotte area. So,
yeah, it's a good reason not to watch Royal Rumble. So
I already forgot about Saturday.
At DeFrango 11, at Granny Maze, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any fine purveyors of podcasts, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Say it again.